You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
We're always calling teams and getting their thoughts. And, hey, we might be thinking about this at this. It's a big nested if loop thing we got going on. And every GM's involved. And we've had some great conversations. They've had some great conversations with us. Ultimately, we're ready to do whatever is presented to us. If you stand and pick at 12, we're going to do it. And we're going to do it the best that we can for this organization. And if it's not that, we'll do something different.
I'll tell you what. If you thought Rick Spielman worked hard to avoid saying anything to the media in his traditional Tuesday pre-draft press conference, I think our guy, Kwesi Adofa-Mensah, might have topped even Rick's. He said a couple things we'll get into, but nice job by Kwesi, not giving away any. You know, he hit on all the classics, right? Not going to give away any information, but, hey, our phones have been busy. We've been calling. Some teams have been calling us.
But he had to be asked that.
We could move back. We could stand pat. You never know.
He had to be. Rick always prefaced in the opening, the phone is ringing. We're open for business. Like, that was part of his his preamble, right?
In fact, sorry, guys. Hold on a second. I'm getting a call right now from an AFC general manager. Just give me a second, right?
Can't tell you who it is. Can't tell you what it's about.
Yeah, AFC West. But I can't tell you. Tell you who it is. But so, all right, Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports entertainment, therapy, speculation. We will be live on the Score North YouTube channel for some Wolves Game 5 vent line. We will be live at Surly Brewing Company for a special Purple Daily Surly draft party on Thursday night. So all kinds of things happening this week. But he didn't say a whole lot of truly relevant, interesting things because the point of these press conferences is mostly just like, if you want to say something to, if you want to send a message to the other general managers, you can. Otherwise, you don't have to. But he said there's no amount of seventh-round picks that will equal the value of the first pick when he was asked about whether he believes in volume of players or impact players. Yes. And he might as well have been closed circuit staring right into Rick Spielman's living room in South Florida when he said that, right? So I don't think you're going to see the Vikings, maybe I'm wrong here, trading back 8 times to stockpile 6th and 7th round picks in this draft or any draft that Kwesi oversees.
One thing I love about sports, and especially when there is change made, and especially when there are obvious things that the former executive or coach did that drove people crazy, is it always gets exaggerated. So, because like Rick did, he traded back and it drove people nuts. And you know what? It drove me nuts at times. But don't you like how now it's there's no amount of last round draft picks that can equal a first round pick? Like, the exaggeration awesome.
But dude, in 2000, so last year the Vikings actually did not have a seventh round pick. I think they might have traded. So they did not pick in the seventh round last year.
Yeah.
But in 2020 and 2019, they had 8 combined seventh round picks and 5 additional sixth round picks. So they drafted 13 players between 2019 and 20.
Yes.
After the fifth round.
Yes.
Now, some of those guys have had there's been some playing time in there. I mean, Ole Udo was your starting right guard, and Armon Watts has been a contributor on the interior. I mean, Judd's guy, Chris Boyd, Olabisi Johnson had a nice little run there for a minute. So there's been like some useful guys, but in general, yeah, I think the more you can stockpile first, second, third round picks, however you go about that, that's the best part.
And I am all for taking shots. I am all for this. Crazy. Bring it on, baby. I love it. I love taking shots. Taking shots is great. From the podium, too.
What did you, the other thing that struck me was just how, you know, he was asked probably three or four different variations of questions about his philosophy on something. How much of a risk taker are you?
Yeah.
Or what do you believe about this? And he bristled more and more at every question that was about his beliefs. And he would twist it to, listen, it's not about me. This is a we thing. And he said, Kevin O'Connell, our head coach, always bristles when people say I instead of we. And I love that too. I actually think that's something that kind of drives me nuts when you're in a team setting and people say I instead of we. But
yes.
but he truly is trying to take, not in like a scared way, but I think he's trying to take this spotlight off of him and say, no, I am just sort of the organizer of ideas and collaboration here for a lot of smart people that are in this room. You know, not that Rick was always a me, I guy, because he used the word we too. But I think Rick really basked in the draft is my thing. This is what I have systems and processes and analytics and a big magical draft board that goes, you know, four walls in a conference room. And I almost feel like Kwesi, it's not that he's uncomfortable in the spotlight, but he just like he doesn't want this to be the Kwesi show, if that makes sense.
This is the one thing that stood out to me about that press conference that I actually thought was intriguing. And it's not necessarily any direct thing that he said, but it brings up a question in my mind. And it's this: collaboration is awesome. It's well and good until you have to make a split second decision. And there are times where you have to decide things. Like there's not time to go talk to Larry and Johnny and Ralph and Cheryl and Susie.
Ralph and Susie, I would definitely want their opinion.
You have to make a decision. And I'm going to give you an example, and this is why only time will be the answer to my point here. Rocco Baldelli, in game, I think, really struggles. I think he needs help. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Derek Shelton was good. I'm guessing before Bell tragically passed, that he helped. And it's why Jace Tingler, who managed, is right by him, because there are things about in game where I think Rocco relies on collaboration, which at times is fantastic, but at times you have to be the one to say, guys and gals, this is what we're going to do. This is our decision and we're all on board here. Correct. So that's my question off of, because what Kwesi is saying as a fundamental philosophy of life, I think is fine. Like, I think that actually works because it makes people feel involved. It sounds like he does that, which, again, that's fine, too. But I guess my long-term question off of how he phrased things, and I think it was Joe Schmidt who twice asked questions about what do you do, and you're right. He sort of got his back up a little bit.
He did. Yeah.
I guess my question is, okay, when it's draft night, you know, and you have to, and like, it is time to make a decision. And Ted is saying this, and Cheryl is saying that, and Susie, damn it, she's saying something else. Kwesi has to be the guy to say, okay, thanks. Here's what we're doing.
Well, one of the questions, and I'm not going to like call out the media member. One of the questions was, it was kind of a cliche, you know, how much of a risk taker are you in the draft? You know, how do you handle players with character issues? And character issues is such a huge cliche bin in NFL draft conversation. Because what does it mean? There's the weed guy, I guess. So who are all the different character issue profiles, right? There's weed guy. There's rap sheet guy.
Rap sheet guy worries Judd.
But there's also like doesn't really care about football as much as he should guy is in character issues guy, right?
That's a good one.
There's doesn't play through pain guy. You know, there's like five or six different guys that could be in the character issues bin. I like that Kwesi, he didn't just answer a question. He said, he bristled and he goes, I don't like when people just say character issues. I need more specificity. I need you to be more specific about what is the character issue. Because we're talking about 20 and 21 year old kids. We're not fully formed adults.
Right.
So there might be, if you shot somebody, like maybe you're not on our draft board. Well, okay, if you disappeared and you're a little aloof and you're a little immature, like okay, we can work with that.
I think he was asked that question because part of Rick's platform in this same press conference every year was we've red dotted 16 guys, which yeah, basically means they that. Killed their families. Maybe they drove the wrong way and killed, you know, six people.
Jesus, John.
But I'm serious. Like Rick was like, we red dotted guys, but he never told you why. So like, you didn't know what they did. And I think that's why he was asked that question about, but you are correct. Like, I guess the question is, because like we got it. Who cares, right? Like now, really, who cares? But to what you're saying, Phil, and where I guess you could boil it down, I think what the question was getting at was Rick really whiffed hard on Jeff Gladney. You know, he turned out to be a bad guy. So I guess that was the question. But you're right. Like character is just such a generic term.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's kind of recapping the Kwesi pre-draft press conference there. This is Pecking Order Tuesday. And later in the show, we will also have, fingers crossed, a Randy in Cottage Grove 7-round Vikings mock draft. So I think hopefully he has overcome the trials and tribulations of his attempt at a mock draft last week, where I think he had the same player going like three different times under two or three different names.
And then it threw the whole draft off.
And then he just hung up. Yeah,
so are we going to get now, do we know, guys, are we going to get just the Vikings picks? Cause like there's always confusion then. And then he gets mad.
I would like him to give the Vikings picks. I mean, we don't have all day. So,
right.
Well, the Vikings picks are the priority here. So
I think you start out by telling him what we want.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll lay expectations out. Yeah.
But then
sure.
He'll get like flustered and confused.
Well, I need you guys to stand behind me. Okay. Sometimes you guys think that I'm too mean to him, and then you side with him, and it's like, well, now I'm just trying to keep the ship going forward here and not hit an iceberg. So, anyhow.
Collaboration Tuesday, Phil.
It's Collaboration Tuesday, and it's Pecking Order Tuesday here. Mm-mm-mm. I'm Mackie and Judd. And Judd Zolgad has brought to the table the five best and worst Vikings first-round picks since 2000. And I'll tell you what. This pecking order is presented by a new partner of ours. Let's give him a round of applause. Underdog Fantasy is a new partner of ours here before we get into this pecking order. So all three of us have been dabbling. And yes, it is so easy to use the Underdog Fantasy app and the UnderdogFantasy.com website. The best and easiest way to play fantasy sports and get a sweat on games tonight or in the future. It's so easy to use that Judd is using it. I mean,
Declan
think about
showed
that.
Me.
Yeah.
Declan showed me. It didn't take long, Dex.
Other duties as assigned, helping Judd Zolgad with apps. That helps. And Judd won some money last night.
Dude, look at you, man.
Yeah.
I was trying to get a hold of Declan for like an hour because we had to send some data and analytics to one of our bosses. And Declan's like, I'm sorry, I've been teaching Judd how to log into an app for like 90 minutes here. But I'm glad that we got you covered now.
It didn't take that long. It was actually very simple. I'm in, and yes, I won last night on the NBA. So
yeah.
God knows when it comes to football and hockey, I might be a rich man.
So Underdog Fantasy lets you draft a fantasy team in minutes for games tonight or for the season across multiple different sports. Tonight, for instance, there's a big basketball game that you might want to pick some players for. You can also play pick'em games like over-unders and such. Sign up now with the promo code SCORE, S-K-O-R, and Underdog Fantasy will double your first deposit up to $100 in bonus cash when you deposit $10 or more. We are pumped about this partnership, and it's been a blast, all of us playing in the last couple days. So promo code SCORE so you can let them know that we sent you along. Judd, are you ready for
football?
You're pecking order. Judd, yeah, you got to take yourself out of the Underdog Fantasy app here. And
over-unders.
Yeah, no, we got to.
For tonight's game. All right. Okay.
I'm going over on a couple of those.
Yeah,
ants.
I have some overs, by the way. I have some overs ready.
So, some overs, baby.
Thanks a lot, guys. I was trying.
Yeah.
So the Vikings' five best and five worst first-round picks since 2000. I'm going to ask you, as part of Collaboration Tuesday, do you want me to start with the best or the worst?
I think we start with the best. Let's go with the good news here, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it.
The best five picks since the year 2000. For your Vikings, we will start at five and work our way up. Number five on the list, 2013, a draft that had, I believe, three first-round picks in it for the Vikings. But the fifth best pick since 2000 at number 25, Xavier Rhodes. Xavier Rhodes. And by the way, I thought that to me that this part of the list came pretty easily. So like this didn't take a lot of internal debate personally. So I'm curious if you guys agree or disagree with my top five. Number four, the 22nd pick in the 2009 draft, the weed guy. The weed guy fell. This is, in my time covering the team, I have never been as certain that the Vikings would take a guy if he fell to them as I was in this case, because at number 22, the Vikings took Percy Harvin, who then obviously played an instrumental role in the Brett Favre season of getting to the NFC Championship game.
That's an interesting one. I almost feel like, and I we'll see what the rest of your list is, but it was a good pick. I'm glad they made the pick. It also feels like his career as a Viking was sort of incomplete. You know, that
I agree with that.
He could have been so much more, and he was valuable, and he did help them win a bunch of games in 2009 especially.
Mm-hmm.
But he also might have been like 5 or 8 years ahead of his time as a player, right? I mean, he was Deebo Samuel before Deebo Samuel.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he fell to them so far, and without being a character slash weed guy, he's what, Phil, a top five pick?
Probably, yeah.
So he's at four on my list. At number three, a draft pick that the Vikings actually, intentionally or not, we still don't know, screwed up, but got the best player that they possibly could. 2003, ninth overall pick, Kevin Williams. Borderline, he's not, but he is a, in my opinion, borderline Hall of Fame player. He did things as a defensive tackle that are now commonplace that at that time we didn't see much of. So he is third on my list.
Yeah, one of the more, just because of his position and because his personality was so understated.
Yep.
He wasn't a wallflower, because I think when he needed to say something in the locker room, he was always available as a team leader, but he just, one of the more underrated and underappreciated Vikings for a few different reasons.
Yep, and at his best, a dominant player. So he's third. Number two on my list. And this is probably debatable, but it's a work in progress, and I think the first one makes sense. But number two on my list, 2020, first round pick for the Vikings, Justin Jefferson. I actually debated briefly putting Jefferson third and Williams second, but Jefferson's just been so good.
I think
so quickly.
By the time it's all said and done, he's going to be number one by the time it's all said.
Yeah,
and done.
I agree.
On this, well, at least on this list as of now.
Yep. But number one for now on this list fell to the seventh pick of the 2007 draft. And in retrospect, no matter how we feel about him, I think put together, although he won't go away now, a Hall of Fame career, Adrian Peterson. Peterson, I think, is one right now. And you're right. Long-term, Jefferson might be it, but I think AP right now has to be atop that list.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. That's very fair. So Peterson, JJ, Kevin Williams, Percy Harvin, Xavier Rhodes. Who was just off the list? Any honorable mentions in there for you? I mean, Bryant McKinney was a first round. Was he in the 2000s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, he was. And yeah, he was there were more guys in contention to get on the worst list than the best list.
The first round has not been kind to the Vikings outside of a few here and there in the last like 8 years. It's been kind of rough.
To me, those five were pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't really struggle. I had a little bit of internal debate on how to rank them, but I thought as far as the top five goes that they were the top five.
I like it. Okay, now this is probably the one that you've had the most fun stockpiling here, which is the whiffs, the top five biggest whiffs since 2000 in the first round.
This came...
There's quite a few of them.
This came with a lot of debate, internal debate. As I chugged my Surly's last night, I had great internal debate about how this list fell, and I am open to the fact that I think that there will be flat-out disagreement.
Oh, boy. All right, let's do it.
All right, number five on this list. The 18th pick of the 2019 draft, Garrett Bradbury.
Wow.
Garrett okay. Bradbury. Okay. Now
it's hard to argue this.
I know, but here's the problem. You're going to, as I go through this, realize I left at least two, if not three, guys off that probably deserve it. So, Garrett Bradbury, I just decided the body of work is pretty substantial, and it's pretty damn bad. So I put him fifth. Mm. Number four could be higher, but I don't think so. The 23rd pick of the 2016 draft, Laquon Treadwell.
Yeah.
He's fourth. Now, again, yeah. I know, but
that's
wait
a big
till
whiff.
I keep,
yeah, no, it's a big
wait
whiff.
Till I keep going, because he would be, I think, easily second on lots of lists. Like, lots of teams might have him as their second, if not first, worst pick since 2000.
Laquantosaurus Rex.
Yeah.
Didn't he had two or three nicknames coming out of college, right?
Yeah.
Laquantosaurus Rex, and there's another one.
Loved running up those steps at Mankato. Love going up those steps.
Drove Zimmer crazy. Yeah. He works on what he's good at. Drove Mike up the wall. And in this case, I think Mike was probably.
I was told, too, like, behind the scenes that he was the kind of guy that, like, if you ripped him in practice, like, they had to, like, always be coddling him. Like, they had to always be like, Laquan, no, we love you and believe in you. Like, he would get incredibly down on himself. Like, incredibly down on himself to the point where he had to be basically babied and put his, like, pat on the back and say everything's going to be okay.
See, I think that's, Pat talked about that with Carl Anthony Towns on Rapping with Royce today. That's like, and I know it's cliche to say this generation of athletes, but there are, it's not everyone, but, it's sort of the AAU generation of you've got social media validation coming in your whole life, and everyone knows how big of a star you can be when you're 12, and then all of a sudden you get to the NFL or the NBA and life slaps you in the face. And it's weird. You haven't had to deal with that before.
And what's weird, too, is Treadwell was such a flop that, like, you think that's by year two or so, he'd be used to it, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, Cat's been a star his whole life. So, like, I almost sort of get Cat, but it's like, Laquan, you sort of suck.
Yeah. Okay. So, Bradbury, Treadwell.
Yep. All right. Number three, by the way, 3 and 2 from the same draft. So, I think you know exactly where I'm going. Number three, 2005, 18th pick, Erasmus James.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
I mean, I think he deserves it. I think he deserves three. He was going to be the guy that was going to give the Vikings, finally, the pass rushing presence from the right end, right? Like, he was going to be the guy that was going to get to the quarterback. Marvelous Big Ten career at Wisconsin. And, I mean, he is the definition of a bust. He didn't like football. He didn't turn out to be that good. He couldn't handle it.
I'll tell you, the honorable mentions are stacking up here. Because I now know who your number two and number one are going to be. Yeah. And the honorable mentions.
I know, that's my point.
Gosh.
That's my point. It's almost fun to do a top five because I think we can debate who probably should be on this list much more so. Because a top 10 would be simple. Like, a top 10, easy. But, like, you're right. Like, a top five now, this is going to be fun. All right, number two. Number two could have been one, but I don't think he's one because one is such a bust. Number two, seventh overall pick, the Randy Moss pick back from Oakland 2005, Troy the Hands Williamson.
Dude, imagine him not being number one.
I know.
And you're right about this. Like, you're not wrong in your ranking, but imagine him not being number one.
Then why does it feel so wrong?
He literally went to, didn't he get like Nike contacts or something? Or he went to some Nike training thing?
Nike Vision Camp.
Nike Vision Camp.
Because they decided he couldn't hang on to the football because he needed help tracking the ball. And they worked with him on his vision.
Did he go to that vision camp before or after the ball hit him in the face against, well, it actually happened twice. The ball hit him in the face in Green Bay on a Thursday night, and the ball hit him in the face once or twice against Denver.
That Denver game was his last game as a Viking.
Okay. the meme that people put out on the internet is him wide open down the field and the ball just like bouncing off his chest, right? But what people forget about that game is he came back in later on like a 3rd and 8 or a 3rd and 10 and flashed wide open on a slant. Like, nope, like it was a busted coverage. And the ball rifled right off his chest. And he just walked back to the sidelines, and that was it, man. That was it. And now I think he's made a career out of being a motivational speaker, and so credit
Matt
to him.
Foley.
But yeah,
he's Matt Foley. I'm a receiver. Don't bother. You're not gonna amount to anything. Yes, and the Denver game was his last game. I believe also the two passes in that game that you're discussing, Phil. I think, and I'm not joking here, God rest his soul, I think they might have been the two greatest passes as a Viking Tavares threw.
Just bullets,
yeah,
man.
Just
bullets.
Dimes.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Just side podcast episode at some point. Does T-Jack's career pan out differently if he builds more confidence connecting on those throws to Troy Williamson? Did Troy Williamson ruin Tavares Jackson's confidence and career?
The deep ball,
my column.
The deep ball he threw that went off Troy's face mask was just a perfect throw.
Yeah. All right. The number one ranking on this list is going to be presented by our friends at Valley Park Medical Clinic, because we're talking about dudes with performance issues, football related. If you have performance issues in the bedroom, Valley Park is dedicated to providing breakthrough ED remedies to men in the greater Minneapolis area, all right? Their approach is medical. You meet with a medical provider who's going to review your entire medical history, examine you, and supervise your treatments, which are going to be surgery-free, drug-free, and non-invasive. If you want to find out more about this highly trained team that works with you in a discreet manner, go to valleyparkmedicalclinic.com. valleyparkmedicalclinic.com. Back to Judd.
And
speaking of, back to Judd.
Yeah, 52. Let's be honest here. All right, number one on the list. It has to be. This list was so difficult. This part was so tough. But anyway, yeah, that's right. 12th overall pick, 2011. The man that was going to solve Rick Spielman's problems. The young quarterback that Rick thought was going to be his guy. The guy that Trent Dilfer destroyed the day after, and I think the night of the draft, young Christian Ponder is number one. So Ponder, Williamson, Erasmus James, Laquan Treadwell, and Garrett Bradbury. Okay, thoughts, because Phil, you nailed it. Leaving guys off this was excruciating.
Yeah, I've got thoughts on both lists, and we do have to get to our guy Randy in Cottage Grove here. He is ready to rock with his mock, but... I think you mostly nailed the list here. I would say a couple honorable mentions for sneaky good Vikings first round picks. Chris Hovan was really good for like 6 or 7 years. Yeah. I don't know. I might bump Percy Harvin because I don't know that he lived up to potential, but Chris Hovan was rock solid. And Michael Bennett had a couple 1,000-yard seasons. I think he had 2,000-yard seasons, didn't he, as a starting running back? So he was a pretty solid first round pick. Matt Khalil. The guy on the five worst, like Matt Khalil, had a great first season and then was a disaster afterwards. Injuries were in play there.
Yeah.
Chad Greenway. Chad Greenway was a first round pick in 2006. I feel like I might swap Percy Harvin or Xavier Rhodes for Chad Greenway, but
Harrison.
No, we could fight on that. Yeah, wasn't Harrison Smith a first, or was he a second round pick?
No, first round pick.
First round pick.
End of the
first
round.
Damn, man, he's a freaking Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I would have had him on mine.
Yeah, I got to put Harrison Smith on here. Harrison Smith, what year was he drafted? 2000.
They traded back in to get him.
2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2012. I would probably put Harrison Smith instead of Percy Harvin on here, and I might put Matt Khalil.
Yeah.
I don't know who you bump on the bad list.
The bad list. I can't bump.
You can't
those
bump
guys.
Anyone. Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, Smith is a good choice. Percy to me, I put him on in part though because he played such an instrumental role on that 2009 team going to the conference title game. But yeah, but I loved Rhodes so because he was for that time. Period with Mike, especially a shutdown guy, but yeah, Smith. I guess I would.
Let's. Sorry, Percy.
Yeah,
it was a good run for Percy. but he was not even the best wide receiver on the 2019. That was Sidney Rice. And then his career got kind of topsy-turvy after that. So I see what you're doing there with Percy.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harrison Smith's got to be above Percy.
The worst list is I am that
football.
I mean, no, Hughes, Gladney, Cordero.
Yeah. Actually, Percy was the freaking rookie of the year, too. He was rookie.
Yeah, he was great.
He was awesome, man. Good, so. He was Debo before Debo.
Yeah.
Yep. So there it is. That's Judd's pecking order of the five best and worst first-round picks since 2000 for the Minnesota Vikings. All right, we got to collect ourselves here and then see if we can connect without problems to our guy, Randy, in Cottage Grove.
Man, you held him at 20 points, man. You gave us a chance at the end, but I got three words for you. You like that?
Yeah, dudes. Yes. I like it because it's draft week, boys. Let's fire this thing up. Mackie and Judd. We got our guy Randy in Cottage Grove. You can follow him on Twitter at RandyVikes69, and he is the most passionate Vikings fan we know. And he has correctly identified over the past, I don't know, three or four draft seasons, Mike Hughes, Justin Jefferson, and Janarius Robinson.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a guy who is a dialed in J-Rob.
That's what we call him.
Who's we?
People who give a damn, who love the Vikes.
Oh,
okay, all right.
Interesting.
All right, well, welcome to the show. Listen, before we get, so ultimately what we want from you as we get it every year is we want your 7-round Vikings mock, and we'll get to that here shortly. But, you know, a lot of people just kind of wondering, maybe a little bit worried about you from last week. You jumped on and you were going to give your first round mock, at least up through the Vikings pick, and it kind of went sideways there. I think you might have had Sauce Gardner in there about two or three times, and then you refused to give the Vikings pick at 12. And I don't know, just have you had some time to reflect on what happened there, Randy?
Well, in that particular moment, I realized that someone had slipped in my board, and I didn't really like the idea of that guy getting on the radar of other squads, other front offices. And but I went ahead and bottled it up, and I'll stand by that. And if he does end up slipping in the draft and goes to us, you can thank me.
Okay, who is that player? I mean, we're like, what, 3 days away from the draft here, so 2 days.
Gentleman who plays, he's an edge guy. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
He plays for Georgia. You figure it out.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. Whoa. Okay.
See,
we go.
See, I had a feeling this was going to get nasty right away.
I don't think he's going to fall, by the way, but if he does, that's all right.
Okay.
All
right. I mean, a lot of people think that he's going to go number one overall now. Peter Schrager sort of he broke the news that the Jaguars are looking at him number one overall.
Well, as you've seen in the past, Schrager knows where to look for his information.
Schrags.
Yeah, he did plagiarize your mock draft a few years ago. Yeah.
Accusations.
And then you guys fought with each other on Twitter. I do remember that. Yeah.
You know, it's just he's the kind of guy who doesn't want to do the work himself, likes to kind of sniff around the internet at the Twitter and find people who put in the time, like in the mocking community. We're not on TV like him. You know, we use the extra time to make big moves.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, you're kind of on TV now. I mean, this is on the Score North YouTube channel, and a large chunk of people do watch. So technically, Randy, congratulations. You are mocking.
I want to mock.
Mock!
You are mocking on TV right now.
Well, okay. You want the whole, you want to go a full seven, yeah?
Not like a full seven. We just want the Vikings 7-round mock here, okay? We're a little bit flexible with time, but like we don't have time for a full 7-round mock. We just want the Vikings picks across the 7 rounds, all right?
Okay, I we can do that.
Okay.
Are you sure? You sound a little hesitant. Yeah.
Well, I had the whole thing prepared, and in the past, you've let me really just explore the space. But if you want to just go with the purple, that's fine. There's a lot of good guys that we're going
to
take.
I mean, listen, I'll throw it to Judd and Declan. Do you want Randy to go through literally 250 picks here, or do you just want the Vikings
picks? No, we don't have time for
that. Our fans are thirsting to know what Randy thinks is going to happen with the Vikings picks.
Okay. All right. Well, Randy, we're gonna give you the floor here, but this mock draft by Randy Vikes 69 is presented by one of our new partners here, Judd. Spiral light candles are all the rage when it comes to a potential Mother's Day gift.
Yes, and they are a fantastic gift because, as you just said, Phil, Mom's Day is coming up on May 8th. And you know what? If your wife or your mom, you're thinking, what can I get them? I don't want to get them a cliched gift. I don't want to come home with something that's boring. Spiral light candles is the answer. And here's the best part. Prices start at $14. A wide variety orders of $50 or more ship for free. SpiralLightCandles.com. SpiralLightCandles.com. The scent will make your house smell fantastic, and mom will love these candles.
All right, here it is. Randy Vikes.
All right, and also the draft, my mock, my Vikings mock, is sponsored by
it is?
Corona. Corona with a loaded shot in the neck that you can get at one of my absolute favorite establishments. It's Benchwarmers. Benchwarmers is a place where you know that you can go. Excuse me.
Listen, Randy, you can't just bring that. Sponsors to our show without us clearing
loaded,
it. Okay,
it's a loaded Corona. They put a Bacardi Limon in. You take a swig. Then the bartender comes over.
That's great. That sounds amazing.
Before, but yeah,
it's great. It's refreshing, and it's a good.
Okay,
that sounds very refreshing.
This is the whole read got goofed up. Now I won't get.
How much is this bar paying you to do this?
I got a $200 gift card.
That's not a good deal, Randy.
Yeah, it's not a great deal.
That's actually probably buy you a lot of those drinks that you're talking.
I
don't
get it until I finish. Play the music.
Okay.
All right. All right. This is Randy in Cottage Grove. Sneaky, man. Trying to sneak those sponsors in. Here is his 7-round Vikings mock.
We got a lot of needs in this draft. A whole lot of needs. And there's a lot of ways it could fall. But in the past, I've been told and warned not to do trades, not to get cute, as they say. I think we might trade back out of 12, but if we don't, go ahead and get ready to get excited about another weapon for KOC. Now, pick number 12, we're going to take Jameson Williams, Alabama.
Wow.
He's a wide receiver. A lot of people have him graded out in the top half of the top 10, but if he falls, you make no mistake. If we don't trade back, we ain't going to take a cornerback. We're going to take a weapon, and look out. Look out. And Adam Thielen, you're going to be third fiddle right out of the gate because this guy can fly.
Listen, I don't want to minimize what's happening here because, once again, you know, we may spar here when Randy comes on the show once in a while, but Randy has correctly picked Mike Hughes as a first-rounder to the Vikings and Justin Jefferson as a first-rounder to the Vikings. And then the J-Rob, Janarius Robinson, was kind of a bonus. He nailed that one in the later rounds last season. So, you know, when you... And I will say this, too. You had the position correct last year. You had them taking the Oklahoma State offensive tackle, but they wound up with Christian Darrisaw. I think you might have even said they'd trade back. So, like, Randy's radar when it comes to who the Vikings are going to choose and what they're going to do in the first round is very honed, oddly. So you've got them taking the Alabama wide receiver, going offense in the first round.
You just stood.
Yeah.
And we're going to go offense in the second round, too, because here's a guy who's going to fall. I think we might even sneak up a touch to try to grab him. But if he falls or we sneak up, you're going to love this guy for a long time. It's a Tyler Linderbaum of Iowa.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. He's a body. He's a big body. And if you come out of those first two rounds with Williams and Linderbaum, let's get snug because it's snug 30.
So you think... You think there's a chance Linderbaum could fall into the second round and maybe the Vikings trade up to snag him and grab a franchise center?
Yeah, trade up just a touch. Get a just little sneak touch. Sniff of him. You get a sniff of him, you come up 3, 4, 5, 6 picks. That's worth it. Absolutely worth it. And Linderbaum, if he falls, it's going to be a kick-ass pick. And if he doesn't fall, it's going to be Jaquan Briskers from Penn State. But I better make a decision, so it's going to be Linderbaum.
All right.
We'll note Jaquan Briskers. We'll just make a note of him just in case that. We'll give you credit for that one.
And finally, now in the third round, they're going to give Zim a weapon on defense that he I'm sorry, not Zim. Forget he's gone. We're going to get a finally cornerback there, number 77. It's going to be Marcus Jones from Houston. He's a bit of a project corner, but I do like what we're going to be able to do with him. And you know, his tackle factor is poised to be really off the charts in year one.
Yeah, that tackle factor is a big thing.
Football.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Love a good tackle factor.
Me too.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
Cruising now to the fifth. If we don't make a move to get up back up into that fourth round, by the way, there's a lot of absolutely great talent in the fourth round this year. A lot of people that really shouldn't be hanging around there in the fourth, and we might try to sneak up and make a pick in the fourth. But if we don't, with Harrison Smith getting a little long in the tooth, gotta restock. You gotta restock. And what better guy to pop into the cupboard than Tyson Anderson from Toledo? You know, at 156, yep. I think he'd be an absolute steal. Mm. Tyson Anderson is a kind of safety who you can build around while working on his game. I mean, you can plug him in right away and know he's got another gear or two or three. I just love the way he plays.
Mac legend, right?
He's a stud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is a good player. Tackle factor's pretty good there.
The Toledo tackling factory, mm-hmm. I think that's what they're calling it. The Toledo tackle factory. Mm-hmm. No, keep going.
184. It's tricky because I have to keep finding the Vikes because I, of course, do all seven rounds. So I got to scroll down to my Vikes. But at 184, going to get another offensive lineman here, and that's Joshua Ezeudu from North Carolina. Joshua Ezeudu, just a slam dunk. A lot of people have him going in the fourth round. If we can snag him in the sixth, I mean, just go ahead and give a nice back pat to Quezzy because that would be an absolute steal. Joshua Ezeudu. North Carolina, he's a guard at 184.
Okay.
Well, okay. I'm going to take another project cornerback at 191.
Oh.
Joshua Williams from Fayetteville State. You know, he's a guy, a lot of people are going to scratch their heads and say, why would you take him there? Well, I'll tell you why. Because if he falls that far, it's only going to be because of questions about where he played. And we can work with that. We want athletes. We want athletes. We want guys, you know, who are willing to kind of get in and grind and get dirty and nasty from day one. And Joshua Williams has that attitude.
Love it. Love it. Oh, yeah, I agree. And, yeah, the college shouldn't matter. I mean, where did Jerry Rice play at some small college? Who cares?
Right.
If you can play, Randy.
At 192, here's another guard. Just going to put a lot of big bodies in the cupboard and see what we can do. And that's Jason Poole from Mercer.
Football.
Jason Poole is the kind of guy, you can move him around the line a little bit. He's going to be a backup kind of a body, but if you can get some quality play out of a guy, you take at 192, right to the bank. Don't even think twice. He's a great pick at 192.
Yeah.
And then finally, at 250, a lot of people hoped we would have cut Cousins loose and really hit the rebuild and take like a Malik Willis, who I love, early. Well, they didn't decide to do that. Doesn't mean they don't want someone other than you know, Manning in the pipeline, and Kellen Mond, who knows what happened to him. He's in the witness protection program. but we're going to go ahead and grab a QB here at 250.
Ooh, another one.
Brock Purdy from Iowa State.
Oh, no, dude. Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
Love
Brock
it.
Purdy's the kind of guy who you never know.
Sneak
him in the back door. Throw a red jersey on him and stuff him on the practice squad for a couple of years. Yes. But Brock Purdy at 250 could be the SOB, as they say, the steal of the draft.
Fiesta Bowl MVP last year. Fiesta Bowl MVP.
Dude. That was a good game. I don't know if you guys watched it. Hell of a
game. Yeah.
Brock Purdy is an experience, and I am here for it, baby. I'm here
he
for
is
it.
Experienced. He played it. Had a lot of great games in college.
Yeah, he played, let me see here, 48. He started 48 games at Ohio State and was just rock solid.
Little lettuce, as the ladies like to say, on top, like to kind of grease it down.
Yes, sir.
You know, maybe he pulls up to camp in a, you know, kind of an old Camaro or something. Just doesn't give a damn. That's the kind of guy you need under center. And when we finally move off this Cousins train, maybe he'll be ready. So that's a great draft. It's I can post it if you want. It's a great draft, and I'm excited. And once again, the loaded Corona special.
All right,
good job, Randy.
Thanks, Randy.
Great job.
All right. Okay. All right. Trying to sneak his little sponsors in there. Listen, like if you want to you want to strike a deal with us or something. We can't, you can't just come on here. It's not just free for all here. Okay. No.
He did the same thing last year or 2 years back.
Yes.
He sold the mock draft and
some local bar or something.
Yeah. And it's a great local bar that I've been to numerous times, but you can't just come on here with your own sponsors. Right.
No, we can bring our own sponsors like Golf USA. Golf USA, welcome to the Mackey and Judd Show. Tell them about Golf USA, Declan.
Golf USA in Eden Prairie is celebrating their 20th anniversary. A huge store-wide sale now through Saturday. The best deals under one roof on over 10,000 items. You want a new bag? They just got a shipping of over 100 new bags. How about a new grip? All right, I was gripping my clubs on Sunday, and I noticed I'm only a year into these clubs, but they're starting to get a little loose because old Dex Tweets likes to grip the club a little bit too hard.
Or a little nervous.
Because when I'm on a par three from 150 with my iron in hand, okay? And a huge selection of clothing and shoes with some of the best savings you will see all year. Golf USA is locally owned and managed. Stop in today and get the biggest savings of the year. Sales end Saturday. Golf USA in Eden Prairie at the corner of Prairie Center and Flying Cloud Drive.
Boom. All right. What do you guys make of, listen, I don't want to denigrate our guy, Randy, but sometimes he rides the emotional roller coaster and maybe his credibility isn't always 100%, but he does put in the mock work. And like I said, he nailed Mike Hughes. He nailed Justin Jefferson. He nailed Janarius Robinson. He's got Jameson Williams going to the Vikings at number 12 or wherever they wind up picking. And then he's got Linderbaum falling and the Vikings taking advantage. What do you think?
So,
what do you think?
The first pick I actually like because
I love you. I love
and I can't believe I'm going to say this. I like where Randy's head is at with that pick. First time and last time I'll ever say that. Linderbaum, though, he ain't falling. He's going.
Sometimes centers fall.
Yeah, my guess is though the second part first round he's going somewhere in the 20s.
Most of the mocks I've seen, like the highest he goes is, you know, like mid to late teens.
And then he's late
first round. But I think what Randy's insinuating is that because he said he said they would trade up for Tyler Linderbaum.
About seven spots. I think he's gone by then.
Yeah. What would it take for them to I'm trying to do the math here. 46th pick, right? In the second round.
Yeah.
Let's say Tyler Linderbaum. You guys want to look at the draft value chart right now?
Absolutely.
The draft value chart.
Hit me.
Okay.
Hit me.
Okay. So let's say he starts to tumble.
Let me tell you something.
All right. Let's say he tumbles down. For anyone who got that reference, congratulations.
Yeah. It means you're old.
Let's say he tumbles to like the mid 20s. All right. So. Like Tennessee sitting there at 26, the draft value on that pick is 700.
Okay.
The draft value on the 46th pick is 440. So the Vikings would have to find like 250 or 260 points in draft value.
Yep.
And so they'd have to essentially give up their third round pick and then like, I don't know, like a future fifth or something.
Mm-hmm.
Future fourth or fifth
mm-hmm.
to move up from 46 to the mid 20s. Would you do that? Would you give up? Would you create a gaping hole in the third and fourth round this year to assure yourself of Tyler Linderbaum trading back up to get him?
I don't think there's any way that these guys with how they're going to approach the draft are going to take a center in the first round. So like, I don't think that they would. There are also other players at that position available in the draft who they can take. The Nebraska kid, I can't recall his name, had a great pro day, and I think is projected now as probably a second or third round pick. I think that's a lot more likely. I don't think Kwesi, I think given how we think he's going to approach the draft and again the positional value of players, I don't think he's going to see a center as being worth a first round pick.
I generally agree with that. I think the discussion we had yesterday on Purple Daily about go look at the Cleveland Browns history with the analytically forward front office going back six drafts. And the first pick for the Browns is always a position of pr- premium value. It's cornerback, quarterback, wide receiver, edge, tackle, offensive tackle. Now, once you get to the second pick or the third pick, even if it's first round, they deviate from that a little bit. But they just want to make sure that the first player that we are picking in the draft is one of the five most important positions, which I had a loyal listener yesterday send me a direct message, Danny Carlson, and he said, think about this too, like, those five positions, quarterback, cornerback, edge, offensive tackle, wide receiver, are also the most expensive positions once those players hit the market.
Yeah.
So finding a player at that position in the market is, you're going to overpay, right? So if you can get great players at those positions and have them on rookie scale contracts, Christian Darrisaw, Justin Jefferson, maybe Cam Dantzler, you know, Derek Stingley Jr., whatever, that's how you build a roster. Like, get value at those positions.
Correct.
Team control, cheap, spend a little extra money if you need to on a non-premium position in free agency, right? So, very interesting. I don't know. The mocking's not finished. If you guys want.
I
want
a mock! Oh,
usually we do, we do all of our mock. No, oh, absolutely we can follow that. Because Lord Peter King has posted his final mock draft.
My grace.
His one and only, right?
He only does one, I think.
He only does one.
Yep.
My grace.
Well, it says final mock drafts. I don't know. I'm assuming that.
Does one, yeah. Oh, boy.
I mean, I'm assuming he only does the one here. So, yeah, it's this year's mock is how he is characterizing it. And ordinarily, we've been doing all of our mockage, for the most part, over on Purple Daily. So, a little bonus here for the Mackie and Judd listeners. That's right. To this point, on mock-a-day, Derek Stingley Jr. has gone 8 times to the Vikings. Trent McDuffie, 5. Jermaine Johnson, 3 times. And then Jordan Davis, the defensive tackle from Georgia, once. Kayvon Thibodeau fell once. Wide receiver Chris Olave once. And then we drafted Jamison Williams. But you know what? Let's put Jamison Williams in there twice, because our guy Randy in Cottage Grove also took Jamison Williams.
I like it.
Peter King has Trayvon Walker going to the Jaguars, number 1. He has Aiden Hutchinson going to the Lions, 2. Ikem Ekwonu to the Texans. Sauce to the Jets. Charles Cross to the Giants. Evan Neal to the Panthers. So just a meat and potatoes fest here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's what this draft is.
Kyle Hamilton to Notre Dame, or to the Giants from Notre Dame.
Okay.
Drake London, the first receiver off the board. I love Drake London, man.
Yeah.
God. I don't think he's going to be there, but Atlanta Falcons, number 8. We got a projected trade. Peter King is projecting a trade here. The Texans trade the 13th overall pick to move up to 9 to select Garrett Wilson from Ohio State. So Seahawks move back to 13.
Interesting.
He's got Jamison Williams going to the Jets at 10. So we have a run on receivers here before the Vikings. Now, if this happens, they're probably not going to take, like, the 4th receiver with the 12th pick, right?
Nope.
I would guess that they would then move to a different position.
I agree.
And, wow, Chris Olave going to the Commanders at 11. So 4 receivers off the board, no quarterbacks off the board.
I wonder if we're going to get that run. That's interesting. I thought that we wouldn't. I think this is the first mock that we've done that's projected this type of run on that position. Yeah.
Okay, so if this happens.
Stingley.
I've seen the pick, but Kayvon Thibodeau's on the board too here. All the quarterbacks are on the board.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Stingley or Kayvon Thibodeau here?
Thibodeau.
The quarterbacks are on the board though. So I think this would be caused.
It would probably be a trade back.
I think this would be caused to probably trade back.
I love Kayvon Thibodeau. I would take Stingley here. That's who Peter King has the Vikings taking.
Yeah.
Derek Stingley.
I want a mock!
Mock!
So there are good fits, and there is Stingley in Minnesota, which is a great fit, he's saying, where he'd be coached by his old defensive coordinator at LSU, and he'd be mentored by Patrick Peterson. This is a dream scenario for the Vikings. Stingley's career fell off a cliff after a strong 2019 season, the same way the LSU program fell off a cliff in the last 2 years of Ed Orgeron. And then he just continues into here's a quote here. One GM said, I think he was the best NFL prospect in the country as a freshman, and his workout this spring showed a lot of Darrell Revis to me. Here's the thing. PFF now has him as the second best player in the draft, and a lot of these teams, if not all of them, use PFF as a consulting service.
Yes.
If the consulting and analytical world and even the scouting world thinks that he is one of the two or three best players in the draft, he's not going to be there at 12.
Correct. I don't think, and I also don't think that there is going to be a run on receivers as King projected there. I think Stingley is gone in the top 10. And because the thing that's going to, I think, alter teams is his pro day was great. Like, if he had had a questionable pro day, and it's trite, but if his 40 time hadn't been so damn good, I think he probably falls a little bit, but it didn't. So I think he's gone in the top 10. Here's my question, gentlemen. What would you think if the Vikings actually tried to trade up to, let's say, 6 with Carolina to take Stingley?
Wow, dude.
I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not passing judgment here.
Wait, actually, that's cause for this one right here.
Reckless speculation.
So my first question is, what would it cost? And again, I'm just going off the NFL trade value chart. And the 6th pick is worth 1,600 points. The Vikings' 12th pick is worth 1,200 points. You'd have to find 400 points. Your 46th pick is worth 440 points. So would you do... To move up to 6, would you give up your second round pick and then maybe get like a 5th round kickback from Carolina? Would you move up 6 picks and swap your second for a 5th?
I personally would not. But I would be more on board with if the draft, just for the sake of the conversation, falls as King has it, I would be more on board with actually with both quarterbacks there at 12 bailing back with like Pittsburgh.
Well, and that's the tough part about this is Pittsburgh actually gets the first quarterback, and it's Kenny Pickett at 20 in this mock draft. And I don't see Malik Willis anywhere in the first round. He's got Linderbaum at 24 to the Cowboys.
I'll be shocked at that. That would shock me.
I have a...
He's got Matt Corral 32nd to the Falcons.
We can save this for Purple Daily, even a great tease by the executive producer here. But a listener...
Are you top-notch.
Sent me a sneaky good mock draft from his mock draft on PFF that has the Vikings trading back, and it's fascinating, and I think it's worth exploring and discussing on Purple Daily.
Wow, okay. Oh, look at that. Look at this guy just teasing Purple Daily there. Incredible.
Roller coaster.
Reckless speculation.
Super pumped. Yeah, and please, if you guys are in the area, we would love to hang out with you.
Yeah.
At Surly Brewing Company on Thursday night. So I see it. So we're going to be outside in the amphitheater with like a big screen, and we're going to be live on YouTube. And I see it's going to be like 40 degrees. So
just
whatever. Who cares?
It's fine.
Put on some long underwear, some Chill Boys long underwear, and whatever. But yeah, we'd love to if you got no plans on draft night, or even if you do, cancel them. Come hang out with us. We're live on YouTube starting at 6 o'clock. We're going to be there, cheersing and meeting friends of the show probably at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, just getting set up. So. Yeah, come hang out with us and let's see what the Vikings do.
I've received questions too. The Before I Die beer is not all for Judd. It is for everyone. It is not just all for Judd. Yeah. I've received the beer just for Judd? And I was like, Judd will be drinking it, but it is not just for Judd Zolgad. It's for everyone.
Oh, yeah. No. Thursday night's all about sharing. Mm-hmm. It's all about collaboration.
We're going to be very intentional with that.
Yes, we're going to be intentional in our drinking decisions.
Yep. All right, that's a wrap on today's episode. Tomorrow we do have Write That Down predictions. So see you tomorrow.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 3. It was my first time traveling alone. Packed my car with hiking boots, a camera, and my dog, Randy. I don't know what I was searching for. Maybe it was something new, with adventure. Maybe it was the idea of vacation I would never expect, filled with wildlife, national parks, rivers. Whatever it was I set out to find, it was all there and more. Because there's so much South Dakota, so little time.